Greetings. In Jesus' worthy name this morning. I'd like to extend my sympathies to the Crider family and also to this congregation who is touched in a much deeper way than many of the rest of us are in this time of loss. It's hard to know what to say, yet there's so much that could be said and can be said. It was interesting to me that several times this morning I've heard people make this basic comment that, well, Keith would have wanted us to have just moved on, to move on with the work of the church, with what God has called us to. And my mind went to the book of Joshua, the first two verses. This is God speaking. It says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass, the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. And what were they to do? Were they to sit and mourn? No, he says, now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel." See, Moses, the leader of God's people, was dead. But yet, God's plan for his people was not dead. And God's desire was for them to move forward. And I know that right now, we maybe aren't 100% sure how to move forward. And I recognize that very keenly. We feel that as Brother Keith's co-bishops. How do we move forward? We might not know. But we can know one thing: God wants us to move forward. And so let's endeavor to do that as God leads. And you notice in that account there in Joshua, they were to move forward at God's direction. It wasn't upon their own ideas, but it was at God's direction. And I firmly believe that God wants us to move forward. And as we look to him, that he will direct. So for a message this morning, when I realized about a half hour, 45 minutes after we had gotten the news of Brother Keith's passing, that I may be called upon to fill this preaching assignment, my mind started racing and I thought, what can be shared? And my mind went the same place as Brother Bradley's did. And so I want to invite you to turn to Psalm 23 this morning. We're not going to delve all of the depths of this psalm, but there are truths here that we can see, we can hopefully wrap our minds around, and that they can give us hope, give us reassurance and help us as we think towards what it looks like to move ahead, not on our own strength, but with God's help. I'll just read this psalm again, and then I'm just going to go through it section by section and make some comments. Try to pull out some things for our encouragement. Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This psalm, I believe, is probably the most well-known, most familiar passage in the entire Scriptures. And it is because it's a psalm of comfort and care. There's many promises here for us today. I'm going to talk a little more here a little later about this thing of this psalm being so familiar. So don't forget that. But I just want to, like I said, go through this and point out a number of things. First of all, I want us to notice that the psalmist said that the Lord is my shepherd. So we talk about God being our God in a collective sense, talk about us being God's people, being a part of God's church. And that is all very right and true. But this psalm points out that the Lord is my shepherd. We can each claim that as individuals. God isn't a God who only cares about groups of people, or don't know quite how to say it, but he is a God who cares about us as individuals. And because of that, we can claim him as our personal shepherd. So how is the Lord like a shepherd? I'm not a shepherd. I've never owned a sheep. I've read a little about them. I've observed a little. Sheep, from my understanding, are very needy creatures, prone to, if left on their own, prone to illness and calamity and whatnot, in a way that a lot of other of our domesticated livestock are not. And so as a shepherd, the shepherd is in charge of the flock. He cares for the flock. He cares for their well-being. And so as the Lord, as we look to him as our shepherd, we can recognize that his purpose is to care for, to see that his flock is well fed and has all of their needs met. You know, there's a lot of passages in the Scripture that talk about the Lord being a shepherd or like a shepherd. Isaiah 40 verse 11 is a prophecy of Christ. It says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. So see, it's talking about giving us what we need, about care. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom. Again, it shows a personal care for the weak, for the ones that need extra attention. And he shall gently lead those that are with young. And I just look at that verse and I see a special tender care of the Lord for his sheep. We also see in the New Testament that Jesus is the good shepherd, loved us so much that he was willing to lay down his life on our behalf. The shepherd that we would read about from over there in the Middle Eastern setting in biblical times, they were so dedicated to their flock that even when a dangerous animal came, that shepherd would risk his life to save his flock. And so in the same way, we see our shepherd, that he was willing to lay his life down for us. Now, don't miss the significance of that, because I believe that that helps us to see that this care of the shepherd is specifically speaking of spiritual care. The good shepherd laid his life down for you and I, not so that we could have physical life, but that so we could have spiritual life. And so as we look at this psalm, think about these promises from the spiritual standpoint. Yes, there may be physical aspects to the Good Shepherd's care, but specifically, think about it in a spiritual standpoint. Another thought that I had there on that first verse, the Lord is my shepherd. What is a shepherd without a flock? He's just another person. So for a person to be a shepherd, they have to acquire a flock. I'm not a shepherd, but I've got about 3 acres of land, of pasture, and I could go to the stock sale and buy myself a bunch of sheep, and I would become a shepherd because I would have a flock. So who is the good shepherd's flock? The flock of the good shepherd is made up of those who know him, those who have heard his voice and have responded and who follow him. We're told, Jesus told us there in John 10, as he talked about the sheepfold, that you have to enter in by the door, and that the sheep hear their shepherd's voice, and he calls them by name and leads them out. They won't follow a stranger. They'll only follow their own shepherd, the one they're dedicated to. And I read an account, I think I read this, I remember it, and I don't remember now if I read it or if somebody told me this. It actually, I think maybe it was a story somebody told who had been over in the Holy Lands and had observed a sheepfold with multiple flocks of sheep in it. And in the morning they went out, and each shepherd called to his flock, and the flocks just simply separated themselves and followed after their own shepherd. And as I think about that, and I think about our present situation, we want to be led by the shepherd. And the Lord wants to lead us, but it's up to us to follow. We are the ones who choose to make the good shepherd our shepherd. We're the ones that choose to be in his flock. So we're called to follow. We're called to follow the shepherd, whether the path is smooth and easy and straight, or whether that path is difficult, and whether it's maybe unclear. The shepherd says, follow me. Again, in John 10, verse 14, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. The good shepherd desires our personal relationship. He desires for us to know him, and he desires to know us. And here's where I wanted to talk about this thing of Psalm 23 being such a precious and well-known psalm to so many people. Time and again, especially at times of death, people turn to Psalm 23 and they find some meaning and some comfort there. But does turning to Psalm 23 in a difficult time, at a time of death, a time of uncertainty, does that automatically make us part of the flock of the Good Shepherd? No. So we have people turning to this, looking for comfort. But it's a package. We have to be following the shepherd. We have to be committed to him. We have to be committed to his path. And so remember that the good shepherd knows his sheep and wants to be known by them. He wants that relationship not just when we're facing times of difficulty and times of grief. He wants that relationship all of the time. So let's foster that relationship. Moving on, the next phrase is, I shall not want. We live in a materialistic society. And when we talk about want, it's generally talking about a desire for something that we view as that would be a good, it would be a blessing in my life. And often it's just simply for something that we have some hankering for. It is not necessarily good for us. But it says here that the good shepherd is able and that he will supply all of our wants. That term want is really speaking of our needs. Not everything that we long for or everything that we desire. Remember that I said that this psalm, we need to think about it from a spiritual sense and not the physical. I believe that God, through the psalmist, was telling us that as the good shepherd, he is able and he will supply all of our needs spiritually. He supplies for many of our needs physically as well. But spiritually, we can be assured that he will supply what we need as we follow him and as we look to him. Paul said in Philippians 4:11, "Not that I speak in respect of want or in respect of need, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." How had Paul gotten there? He had gotten there because he had learned that in Christ his true needs were being met. And it didn't matter if he was imprisoned. It didn't matter if he was shipwrecked or whatever else he experienced. He could find his true needs met through Christ. And as we look at the Good Shepherd, our spiritual needs will be met as we follow him. And isn't it true that if our spiritual needs are all met, all is well? It doesn't take away the physical needs we could face. It doesn't take away the grief that we feel in loss of a loved one. Because those are parts of our physical body. There's parts of our physical, psychological makeup. But spiritually, we can be filled. Verse 2, he says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." Again, speaking of provision. I think it's interesting that he speaks of the sheep lying down. To me, that speaks of contentment. It speaks of being filled. They're not up grazing. They're not up scrounging for a morsel to eat. Their needs have been supplied, and they can rest in the care of the Good Shepherd. That doesn't mean that as we rest in him that all difficulty is gone. But I believe that it means that we can rest in spite of the difficulty. See, it doesn't say here that when the sheep are lying in this green pasture that there's no threat of danger, but because of the shepherd's care, because of his presence, because of what he has supplied, they can rest safely and contentedly no matter what the circumstances could be on the outer fringes of that green pasture. Verse 3, "He restoreth my soul." Again, notice, he's speaking about the soul, the spiritual being. That word restoreth, actually has the meaning of bringing back. I think we look at it often as a refreshment. But it has the connotation of bringing back when we wander. And Isaiah 53:6 tells us that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have went our own way. But the good shepherd brings back. He restores. That same original Hebrew word is translated in Psalm 19, verse 7, as converting. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. See, if we use that bringing back, it brings the soul back to fellowship with God. There's a modern translation that says it this way, He gives new life to my soul. So I think that we can look at that as possibly from the standpoint of cleansing from sin. But maybe it's when we feel at the end of ourselves that we can look to the Good Shepherd to bring us back, to recenter our focus, when our focus maybe when our confidence has wavered. He can recenter us on Him, give us a renewed focus on Him and following Him. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He leads us in paths of righteousness. Doesn't say it'll be easy paths. Doesn't say it'll all be level and smooth. But it'll be righteous paths. In other words, it's the right way. If the sheep chose the path, they probably wouldn't end up at a good spot. But with the shepherd leading, he can say, the path looks difficult and rocky and steep, but it leads to where I want you to go. The good shepherd leads us in ways that are good for us, ways that are pleasing to Him, paths that bring Him honor, paths that lead us maybe to a place where we would never attain if we had refused to walk the difficult path with Him. Do we believe that today? Can be hard to accept when we're on that path. But I've experienced in my life times where something very difficult, upon looking back a year or two or three or four later, I could see where that difficult path was a growth point. And see, that's what's so wonderful about the Good Shepherd. He can take these difficult things and make something out of them that we can't even imagine for ourselves. He goes on then to say in verse 4, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I'm not sure what the psalmist had in mind, if he was thinking of facing danger, imminent death himself, or exactly what. But I'd like to think of this morning of this as a time of uncertainty. When you walk through a valley, if you're facing forward, you can't see what's behind you. And you have steep walls on either side, and you can't see very far either way. All you can see is the path ahead. He says that that's the time that you can rest in my presence, in my protection. I'm there with you. A calm confidence. The psalmist, I believe, is expressing a calm confidence that in the face of uncertainty, the face of possible impending death, that the Lord is here and He is leading. So we can be reassured. If we're following the Good Shepherd, we can move forwards in confidence, knowing that He is the one in charge of the circumstances and not us. You ever hear somebody say, you say, can you handle that? And they say, sure, I got this. Well, God's got this as our Good Shepherd. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Again, speaking of guidance, protection. These were the shepherd's tools of the trade for guiding and protecting. But think about the guiding and protection of the shepherd is really only for those who place themselves willingly at that spot. If the sheep ran off, the shepherd would try to find it and bring it back. But outside of the shepherd's presence, there was no guidance and no protection. And so remember that guidance and protection comes and is more real the closer we are to the shepherd. His protection is a tremendous blessing of being a part of His flock. Verse 5, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Again, speaking of provision and care. And I want us to think about it as spiritual nourishment more than the physical. I don't know what the setting was when the psalmist wrote this, but there were enemies. What we face today isn't necessarily an enemy. But what I want us to see is that the ability of the Good Shepherd to provide for His flock was not limited in any way by the circumstances around them. These enemies were out there. They may have scared the sheep, but didn't affect the shepherd's ability at all. So regardless of what we face, God's not limited in caring for us. It just gives me an image of peace in spite of surrounding turmoils and trial and uncertainty and grief. That God is able. Let's rest in His ability. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. The blessings of the Lord, the blessings of the Good Shepherd are abundant. There's no inadequacy. He says that his cup runs over. Why do we fail to see and comprehend the blessings of the Lord, the ability of the Lord to bless at times? Often it's because of my discontentment. It's because of my lack of trust and or lack of appreciation for what he has provided. As we become content, our eyes become more and more open to the fact that our cup does run over. It might not always be with all of the material blessings that we desire, but spiritually, again, spiritually speaking, our cup can overflow. And just a couple of verses I thought about and thinking about that fact. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Paul says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's what our Good Shepherd can do for us. And then 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. "But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." God has blessings in store that we can't even imagine. Let's look for them. Let's look to him so that he can pour those blessings out and so that we can see and understand and appreciate those blessings. Then verse 6 there in Psalm 23 ends by saying, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Again, remember, God's goodness and mercy are over those that are his. If you have placed yourself in his hands as one of his sheep, one of the sheep of his flock, his goodness and mercy is over you. As I thought about God's goodness and mercy following me all the days of my life, it gave me a mental image of the children of Israel as they traveled through the wilderness, and they had that pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night to go with them. The God's presence was there. It was visible, traveling with them. And I believe that God still goes with his people as they travel the often difficult and rocky road of life. The final end of trusting in the Lord and following the Good Shepherd is that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, in the presence of the Good Shepherd. So today, our path might be rocky. It might be painful and unclear. But we do have a Good Shepherd that's leading and directing, who's promised to provide, who's promised to lead us. So through this difficult and trying time, let's do that. Let's strive to look to the Good Shepherd, to be committed to Him, though we don't understand, to be open to Him and to look for His blessings, because He has blessings in store for us. And let's keep the final end in view, that we may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May God bless and comfort each one.